right. So where do you get your strength from? Where do you get the strength to do what you do every day? Just look back at the week that you just had, or a month ago, a year ago. What was easy and what was tough? How did you manage all of that? What was pushing you to do what it is that you do? Maybe you're managing a large company and many people depend on you, and you are constantly putting out fires and rebuilding things. Maybe you take care of certain loved ones and their care is constantly demanding your attention. Maybe you have certain goals that you want to achieve and you're putting everything that you have into it. Some of us might say that love is what drives me and gives me strength, whatever form of love that is, either the love in what you do or the love for the people that you have. Some of us might say that the satisfaction of getting something done is what drives me and gives me strength. You like to achieve things. That's what gives you strength. Some of you might say that coffee gives me strength every day. We might all say that. Some of you might say that my kids, their health, their future, their wellness in life is what gives me strength. And to the obvious point here, a lot of us might say that God gives us strength. But how do you know that it's God's strength? How do you know that? How about when things aren't going very well? Do you still feel the strength from God? What about when your health, as we just heard in the announcements, there's a lot of people struggling with their health. What about when your health is on the line and you're in that moment of deciding whether this is it or not? Do you feel that strength from God? How about when you're going through a mental illness like depression? You're suffering mentally and you're alone in your own head and no one seems to understand. Are you feeling God's strength? How about when your pain is so overbearing that you have to take several remedies just to function during the day? Are you feeling God's strength? When we look to God for strength, how do we know that it is His strength that we're receiving? What's the measurement? What's the metric? My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9. In other words, when you are weak, my strength will come for you. But how do we know that it's God's strength that is in us? What's the signal? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What is the measurable difference between your own human strength and God's strength within you? The title of my message today is Believing in God Through Yourself and Believing in Yourself Through God. I'm trying to catch up with Mr. Jackson on very long titles. Often when it comes to the subject of God's great strength within us, we obviously turn to the Bible and we look for examples, or we look for characters of great strength, whether it be situational or their own personal strength. Sometimes we refer to the story of Samson, which is one of my favorite biblical characters. I know we all have our favorites, and Samson has always been one of mine. And growing up, I always imagined this great, powerful, muscular being that yielded this incredible, unbelievable strength. Most of us here are all well rehearsed with the story of Samson, so I'm not really going to go into it too deep, but I'm going to make a couple comparable points. As I've grown up a little and learned a little more, my vision of Samson being this strong, powerful man has changed. Because as we read the story of Samson, we learn that he wasn't this huge, muscular, powerful being. He was just a man, a regular-sized man, like Jim Cannon. That's not derogatory. You're a perfect regular-sized man. We find this in the book of Judges, Judges 16:5. Just as a quick reference, Judges 16 and verse 5. There's an overview here. And the lords of the Philistines came up to her, being Delilah, and said to her, "Entice him and find out where his great strength lies, and by that means, and by what means we may overpower him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and every one of us will give you 1,100 pieces of silver." So if you read the story of Samson, you might know the scene there. See, if Samson was this great, powerful, muscular being, as I used to think, then the lords of the Philistines, lords assuming that they have some kind of a logic, wouldn't be having much trouble trying to find the source of Samson's strength. It would be obvious. See, I want you to picture in your mind for a moment someone like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Maybe 40 years ago, when he was, you know, he's the pinnacle of bodybuilding, if you will. And it doesn't take a special brainstem to figure out where his strength comes from, right? You can kind of see it. And therefore, you can plan accordingly to what you see as to how you could defeat him. He's got great muscles. There you go. The source of his strength is obvious. The mystery in how God reveals himself is unbelievable. See, the Philistines could not see by looking at Samson where he gets this incredible strength from. That's why they had to go to the lengths of enticing him, tricking him, and trying to figure out where is the source of his strength that we may overtake him. And throughout the story, when we see every attempt to destroy Samson, what is stated first? In most of the accounts, what's stated first is, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And that's when the unbelievable events took place. See, God is allowing you to struggle because he knows you. Unless he doesn't know you, but that doesn't really make any sense. When we come before God in our struggles, we always come before him in prayer. But I want you to try to imagine that when you come before God in prayer, changing it from your physical appearance here on earth, you know, we get down, hands and knees if we can, and we pray to God. But instead of just doing that, I want you to try to think that you're in front of him in his heavenly court. Imagine that you have transported from this physical earth into God's heavenly court to counsel with him. God's heavenly court has to be real. So we can make it real, make the spiritual, God's spiritual world real by attending there in deep spiritual thoughts. We have to make God's spiritual world real for any of this to make any sense. If we don't tap in, as we were listening in the very first message, if we don't tap into this spiritual world, God's spiritual world, then we're just in a gigantic book club. Because without looking to God's spiritual reality, we are only reacting from what we see, just like the Philistines here in the story of Samson. How can so much strength come from a peasant? See, when it comes to praying, I know a lot of the times when I pray and catch myself, I pray to God, and it seems like I pray to God as if I'm on the throne. Like, God, I need you to do this. God, I want this. God, why are you allowing this to happen? God, where are you? Sometimes I forget that a prayer is not a shopping list or a checklist at the end of the day. A prayer, in very simple terms, is a two-way spiritual relationship where we speak with God, but also, and more importantly, we listen. We listen not because you're going to hear something necessarily, but we listen because you're probably going to feel something. We listen in this two-way relationship because we serve God, not the other way around. See, when we're going through a rough time, whether that be mentally, physically, or spiritually, we go to God fervently for Him to fix the problem, yes, right? Or we may be so mentally or physically exhausted that we don't even have the desire or the energy to speak with God. Don't worry, you're not alone. Many characters in the Bible have felt lost with God before. Just as an example, Moses, as he was leading the people of Israel across the wilderness, and every day, every week, it seems like every year, their complaints continued from, we don't have bread, water, meat. When are we going to get there? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Complained to him over and over, and then God told Moses to keep leading them, keep leading them. And finally, Moses says, you know what, dude? If you keep treating me like this, just kill me now. Wherever you are in your life right now, if you still have your belief that God is real, if you believe that God created the beauty of this world, everything that is good, you give Him credit for it, and you admire His creation and all, don't forget that He also created you. He created all that we find beautiful and incredible, and then at last He created us. You know what's curious on how He created us last is He first created everything we needed. Everything that we needed to live and create a life, God created first. Then He created us so that we can live a life. So if you're in a low point in your life right now and you don't know where to turn to or even how to turn for that matter, and you still believe in God's creation, remember that He created all that you see and admire. If you go to the feast sites and you look at the landscape, you look at the world, you look at a weird animal and say, wow, God has a sense of humor. You look at all that and you credit that to Him. Remember that He created all that with you in mind. He didn't create it for the person sitting next to you. He created it for you. He didn't create us by accident or by mistake. He created us for intention and for a purpose. You know a big difference between humanity and the animal kingdom? Is that the plants and animals do their job. They do their job. We humans, God gave us the will to either do our job, choose to do our job or not. They do their job because it's hardwired in them, and if they don't, they're not going to survive. So knowing and realizing that with all this incredible creation and God created you, don't forget to believe in yourself. Believe in yourself to do something with the time that you have been giving, as we heard in the very first message several times. Believe in yourself through your test, your challenge, your struggle, your stress. Believe that you can make it through your pain. Because believing that God created you for a purpose is believing in God through yourself. We all know the scripture, very famous scripture, and I'm going to turn there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It says, I can do all things Not I as in, look at you, it's all about you, anything like that. It says, I can do all things. It doesn't say, I can't do anything unless Christ does it first, or I can't do anything unless Christ strengthens me. It says, I can first, because God wants you to act first. He wants you to succeed, and he wants you to experience failure. He wants this because without you acting first, nothing's going to happen. And we can't have faith through Christ. We can't have him strengthen us if everything is going the way we want it to go anyways. We don't need him then. The meaning of that scripture, it doesn't mean if I believe in Christ, then he'll do it for me. It means when everything you see in front of you points to the impossible and nothing makes any sense, and you still won't give up because for some reason you have this hope for something that you cannot see. And this isn't a hope where you say, I hope everything's going to be okay. I'm just going to keep doing it. I hope everything's going to be all right. This is a transforming hope that takes you from doubt into courage so that you can arm yourself against the temptations and the fiery darts of this life. So that you can find joy, peace, and love. Because it's when you find these and you put these three together, it's when you feel alive. So if you're struggling in your life, if you're struggling with pain, with depression, uncertainty, we get it. Through scriptures like these, we understand, we get it. Even though we can't comprehend what you're going through, we get it through these scriptures. But in order for things to get better, you have to believe in yourself enough to act so that the faith that Christ will give you is a strength that you cannot see. Because just like we discovered with Samson, if you could see where the source of strength comes from, then it can be taken away from you. Believe in God through yourself. You know, one thing that I do have a fear of that I just put in the back of my mind is that when this life that I'm in is all over, and let's say hopefully I'm facing Christ outside of judgment, maybe, or after the judgment, and I thank him for his sacrifice, just, you know, in casual conversation, thank you for your sacrifice so I was able to live this life. I'm afraid that what he might ask is, what did you do with your life? I'm afraid of that question because he had to endure horrible pain and suffering to save us, and what did I do with it? Are we just alive until we die? Or are we living this life until we die? We all know what the future is promised, as we heard in the very first message multiple times, the resurrection, the kingdom. We all know that. But let's not forget, for us, nothing right now is certain for the future except death. What I mean is, yes, we can read what God has planned and we believe it. We know his plan is for who he chooses. But if we think for a moment that our ticket into the kingdom is sealed, then we're in for a big surprise. If we're still breathing, that means we're still being tested. As of now, we just have this one life to live. As of right now. We have this one moment to live, for we don't know what the next moment will bring. Turn with me to James 4. Book of James. Chapter 4. I'm going to read 13 and 14. So, James 4, starting in 13. come now, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. As of right now, we just have this one life to live. Are we just alive? Or are we living this life until we die? This is very important because you can only feel and experience the type of faith and the life that Christ had when you're alive. As we heard in the first message, you can't experience these things when you're dead. If we lose faith or belief in ourselves to do something, to have courage, to do things that are for us in good ways and in right ways, if we lose that faith or that belief, then we're essentially losing faith and belief in God's creation. We are essentially losing faith and belief in Christ's sacrifice. We cannot say that we're followers of Christ and just wait around for Him to show up. So again, what is the strength of God that we need? Where is it? Now, this is believing in yourself through God. Believing in yourself through God. Ephesians chapter 3. And verse 16. Actually, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16, and we'll go to 17. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. The inner man, this mysterious strength, dwells in you. Again, it's not something that you can see or measure, because then it could be taken away, or we could use it for our carnal desires. If you could grasp the strength of God, if you could use it for your own benefit, we could use it for our carnal desires. But when does this strength appear? How does this strength get activated? Turn with me to the book of Psalms 73. And verse 26. Psalm 73 and verse 26. My flesh and my heart fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. I may fail, but God is my strength. It gets activated when there's nothing left. When there's nothing left and you only see God through a faith that makes your spirit willing to endure. We know it is His strength because when we are made weak and down to our breaking point where we are hopeless, but we still look to God for hope, that's when His power starts to ignite. Because you stop relying on what we see around us. 2 Timothy 1:7, I'm not going to turn there, but 2 Timothy 1:7. God has given us a spirit not of fear, but of power, love, and self-discipline. So here's some hints right here. If we're needing God's strength, we have to battle our fear with our faith that He's there. And to me, this is the hardest one of this little list right here. The hardest one of these is self-discipline. This one, we can't expect God to do this one for us. We have to be the one that acts on our self-discipline. This is where we believe in ourselves through God. See, a spirit of self-discipline, it's not a correction. It's more of a reflection. Sorry for the rhyming words there. It's a reflection because you have to look at yourself in order to make self-discipline work. Just as we know from the story of Samson, when he finally gave in, back to the story of Samson, when he finally gave in to the enticements, he was overpowered, his eyes were skewered, and his identity of devotion was removed, and he became a slave. See, we look at the story of Samson, and we think his incredible strength and power actually came from his hair. Something that's physical. We can see it, we can use it, and we can destroy that. Which is exactly what happened. Which is the same for the strength of God. We tend to look for signs and proof that God's strength is something we can touch. See, the most important lesson from the entire story of Samson is not his incredible strength that he had from the Lord. It's not the incredible feats that he had because of that strength. It is when he gave his purpose away and he did not know the Lord had left him. If you know the story of Samson, he did not know when the Lord had left him. In order for you to know if the Lord's strength is with you, you have to know he created you for a purpose. A purpose that you have to hold on to every day and grow or transform into that purpose. It's not something we can dangle above everyone else. I got a purpose. It's kind of heavy, actually. It's like a weighted vest. We all know the story of Samson ends mightily with his incredible return of faith and strength from God. Which is kind of interesting, because throughout the whole story of Samson, we see that God gifted Samson, right? Gave him a gift. And God was with him throughout the whole story. Every incident, everything that happened, God was with him. God's strength showed up. But at no point in the entire story was Samson ever with God. Until the very end, when he had lost his sight, his devotion, and his purpose. Only then did Samson become one with God. We have a purpose. Believe in God through yourself, and believe in yourself through God.